Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in. On a beautiful, beautiful Friday, B-Mac is producing this bad boy. We thank you so much for taking out the time to listen to us, and we hope we are entertaining you in some form or fashion. Hopefully you're staying out there and staying safe. Clint, one of the guys who we talk about, the gift that keeps on giving with this DeAndre Hopkins story, for anybody, Antonio Brown is a gift that keeps on giving in the news. He's like Sister Odell from Kings of Comedy. He's always going to give you one. And he's kind of been in the news. A lot of people have been talking about potentially him going to Tampa because for some reason Tom Brady is in love with him. And will allow that man to live in his home with his kids as crazy as hell as he's shown to be. We'll get to the Tampa stuff at some point today. But I'm looking at this, and we know – the struggles and the issues that it looks to be that makes people nervous about the Texans. Do you think that he would make them more of a contender right now if they were to sign Antonio Brown?
Hell no. No.
You don't?
I mean, just the talent? Yeah, I mean, the guy's obviously one of the most talented to ever do it. But, I mean, from a talent standpoint, yeah, he would step on the field and help him immediately. But I wouldn't touch this cat with a 12-foot pole, man. I mean, you talk about cancer in the locker room. You talk about a selfish as player as there is, man. I can't. And then you add to the fact that I'm not real sure that my man's not off his rocker, right? I mean, I'm not real sure that. You can blame it on CTE. You can blame it on whatever you want, but I'm not real sure that the dude hadn't lost his mind. And I don't want him anywhere near my team. I don't want him anywhere near my locker room. And there is no way in hell I would put my job on the line with a guy like that in uniform.
Unless you're KB. And when I say KB, you're King Bill. You got hellacious job security. Listen, and I know there are many people out there saying, oh, shut up, show. This would never happen. Now, I'm in the business of not saying anything won't ever happen. Now, I'm telling you, 11 days ago, Clint, I'd have never said the Texans would ever think about anybody like an Antonio Brown. But, Clint, if I told you 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago that they would trade DeAndre Hopkins and take on the worst contract maybe in sports outside of Albert Pujols right now and not get a first-round pick, would you have believed me? Hell no, you wouldn't have. So anything,
correct.
What's your boy, big ticket Kevin Garnett? We're living in a world with the Texans where anything's possible. Anything. Those out there saying, oh, shut up. Anyway, anything can happen with him. I wonder, Clint, how many Texans fans are in the mindset that I'm in. I'm in this mindset.
You know what's – show, you know what's a crying shame? Like, I'm sitting here listening to you. And I could see, and I ain't trying to stir the pot, I could see Bill O'Brien trading Deshaun Watson before I could see him bringing in Antonio Brown.
Anything's possible.
No doubt. Anything's possible. But in my mind, I'm going, which one's more likely? This cat trading Deshaun?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like you said, instantly – he steps on the field, and you know, in my opinion, this may hurt some people, catch people. In my opinion, you talk about just the talent on the field. Like, I would give him a slight edge over DeAndre Hopkins. So I would think they would be in a better – I think talent-wise, they'd be better than they were 2 or 3 weeks ago if Antonio Brown was on the field for this team. But here is my thing. I wonder how many Texans fans are to a point right now, Clint, where they are thinking the way that I'm thinking with the Texans. Man, I just want to see them do something. Something to improve the team, even if it's stupid, right? I'm going to tell you right now, everything you said to open this thing up, I wouldn't touch him. I wouldn't want him near any of my young. I wouldn't want him near Will Fuller. I wouldn't want him near Deshaun Watson. I wouldn't want him near Laremy Tunsil. Wouldn't want him. But, damn it, I'm just to a place where I'm looking at the Texans team, and I'm like, this is a team that I thought could have been a Super Bowl contender when their season ended, if they made some improvements. I just want to see them do something that says, okay, I look at this move and I know without a shadow of a doubt, this team is better, even if it's stupid.
Yeah, you want to look at something and go, hey, this may explode in a matter of minutes. However, I can appreciate the effort of stockpiling talent to give yourself a chance, right, and to give your quarterback a better chance and to get allow your offense to score on the first drive of a game. Before the first round of the playoffs or the second round of the playoffs, whatever it was. I can't disagree with you from that standpoint of I don't need to agree with it, but I would damn sure like to see something that tells me that we're all pulling the rope in the same direction and you want to put a winning roster together. Boy, you pain me when you talk about AB like this.
And listen, I hope it's coming across. I'm very clear because I'm sure somebody just rolled around in their beds right now or something. Yes, it will. I think if I had to put money on a clinic, it'll blow up in their faces by week six if they're lucky. If they could make it through that point, it will blow up in their faces. All I'm simply saying is, man, is it fair for me to believe, Clint, they have not made a move since the season ended to make you feel this is a team that has its mind set on winning a championship, not a division championship? I'm talking about trying to get to the Super Bowl. And that's the mindset. When I look at the Saints, Clint, that's the mindset I thought the Texans would have going into this season. The Saints go out and get Malcolm Jenkins. They go out and get Emmanuel Sanders. They're trying to get better. They re-sign one of their offensive linemen. They're trying to get better, re-up with Drew Brees. That's what I thought we'd see from the Texans. Right now, they have not made – maybe I'm off on this clip. Maybe you can see a move. But they have not made a move yet since the season ended, in my estimation, that says – we're looking to move forward and win a championship.
Yeah, I mean, look, I love the Bradley Roby re-sign, but that don't okay. Tell me that they're ready to make that move. I don't necessarily dislike the Randall Cobb move. The more we think about it, the more we break it up, the more we talk about it, the more I go, you know what, that could really help this offense and help this young quarterback in certain situations. And but yeah, look, I can't sit here and go, all right, these boys are aggressive. They're loading up. They are getting locked and loaded to make a run in 2020. I don't get that feeling either.
Like I don't like Clint. I'll even ask you this. Do you think you would feel differently, even with those moves that you said of re-signing Roby and bringing in Randall Cobb, even if they still stayed pet with the DeAndre Hopkins and DJ Reader? I still don't even think you would be still saying. Even saying center saying, yeah, man, they're making it. They're doing it. Like, even if they kept those guys, they've done those things. They've signed Randall Cobb and re-signed Bradley Roby and got rid of those two guys. So I just, yeah. it's just do something, man. Up to a point where if they signed AB and I know it would go to hell in a handbasket. No, it would. I still, there's a part of me that would be like, all right, man. All right, they would they They want to do something. They want to do something to make the team better. Because right now, I'm just not seeing it whatsoever.
I want to see some moves, but I don't want to see AB. I just can't let you talk me over the hump. I want to see him making some moves. I hate the down to the last second deal and waiting to the last minute to make moves. And I'd rather see aggressive moves up front, get locked and loaded, so you know where you've got to go in the draft and you know where you've got to go down the road. But man, AB. I can't ride with that one.
Hey, I'm curious, man. I wonder your thoughts, man. What'd you think about Kirk Herbstreit? He's one of the best in the business. He came out, he said, a big voice in college, for hell and just sports. But he came out and said he doesn't see college football or the NFL playing at all in the upcoming season.
Well, man, I really like Kirk Herbstreit, man. I mean, I admire what he does. I got to know him a little bit personally through Joey Galloway, and he's a solid dude, man. Also, another former quarterback, by the way. If you catch into my drift here, most of those guys are pretty solid. It's unfortunate because I believe that Kirk Herbstreit's one of those guys that puts a lot of thought into something like this before he puts it out there. He's the people he's talking to, he feels like is, you know, have pretty much been pretty solid at with the fact that, you know, we're 12 or 18 months away from a vaccine, a coronavirus vaccine. And if that's the case, you know, his point is, I don't see how you put, 80 kids back in a college football locker room or 70 back into a pro football locker room without some kind of vaccine. And so it's hard to argue his point, man. It's hard to argue against him when he tells you why he believes that college football and nor the NFL will be playing in 2020.
Yeah, that's the thing. Listen, this isn't insensitive. You tell me if it is, Clint. I trust you. This isn't insensitive for me to say I hope he's dead wrong. Right. I understand what he's saying and why he feels that way. I just hope he's dead wrong, because the thing that makes me nervous, Clint, is we say this all the time. He's not just speaking out of his ass when he comes to the table with something like that. I got to believe he's talked to somebody that gives him some sort of reason to believe that there is real potential to this. Like I remember listening to one of the, who is the real, I forgot his name. He's a basketball reporter for ESPN.
Woj.
No, it wasn't Woj. It's the big guy who's been getting more and more unhealthy over the years. Every time we see him, he just seems to get bigger. I can't remember his name, but he came out and he said, just mark my words. He said, everyone talking about how crazy it is that the Ivy League canceled their basketball tournament in about a week. I don't think we're going to think it's that big of a deal. And then the next week, Clint, everybody canceled everything. And so I don't think these guys come to the table with just, this is just something that came to me. I think they talk to people. I think they have sources that say to them, this could be a real possibility. And that's the thing that really concerns me, because I just can't imagine there being no football coming up this year.
Well, it's common sense, right, is that without a vaccine, it'd be hard to make sense of pushing those kids into a locker room. So you just hope that vaccine is somehow, with all these millions of dollars of donations that are popping up out there, you hope that somebody fast-tracks that dang vaccine.
I hear you on that. I hope he's off on that. Yes. Brian Windhorst. God, that's who it is. Yes, man, that dude, man, he just – God, man, I feel like we need to get him – he needs to get on some keto or something, man. He's just letting it go. Brian Windhorst, that's what I was talking about. All right, this is something that makes me feel like maybe Kirk Herbstreit is off, because Roger Goodell is pushing forward, and they have officially made it known that the NFL draft is coming up April 23rd, as thought to be, and there's something that I think could be a sad story when this comes and when this happens with the draft. We'll get into that next. Clint Cerner, Rod, and Nishil Hughley. I'm over here cracking up because Clint would be a hell of a charades player. when I was trying to grab Brian Windhorst's name, Clint's out here just Jay Billis, Charles Barkley, just throwing out names like.
Yeah, hey, I'm in on it, man. You're about Windhorst. Hell, I, man, come on, man. I thought you were talking about a former player. Did he play?
Hell no, man. If you see, go look up Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst has put on 60 pounds since he started, and he was – listen, from a big man to another, when he's on TV, Clint, I can tell what he just ate. I can look in his eyes, and I can tell he just had pizza. Deep dish, too. I can see in his –
y'all speak to each other like that, huh?
I can see it in his eyes. Burger King, double whopper with cheese. I can see it in his eyes what he just had. I can see it. B-Mac can, too. I can see it in his eyes, man. That man, he just – yeah, I had to get you, man. I hadn't got you all week, B-Mac. I hadn't got you all week. Shoot, I had to get you. But, hey, man, the draft is back. That's why, like Kurt Herbstreit said, he doesn't think there's going to be football in 2020 from college or the NFL. That's not how Roger Goodell is operating. He is operating as usual. Football season in terms of the NFL draft is coming April 23rd through the 25th. How do you think that's going to be received, and how do you think that's going to go off?
I think it's going to go off great. I mean, I'm not a huge Roger Goodell fan, but the way that Roger Goodell is warning folks and telling people to shut their mouth and get ready for a little disciplinary action coming your direction, I love it, man. I mean, I absolutely love it. When I hear him responding the way that he's responded, man, I look at it and I go, hell, they're going to pull this thing off. They're going to find a way to pull this thing off. And it's going to be so much fun. I love when the NFL and as I mentioned yesterday, the major networks, when they have a little bit of a advance notice like this. I mean, they've got 4 weeks essentially, 3.5 weeks essentially to pull this thing off. And I'm just excited to see how exactly they end up doing it. I think it's one of those things that you might as well do it now. What's possibly going to change if you pushed it back a month? There may be the same circumstances. And so if it can be done, let's knock it out and let's ask everybody to get creative with it, man. I'm stoked about it.
And I think what you just said is the part that I'm interested in. I think obviously they're going to have an audience, a big audience of it, but how is it going to look aesthetically? How is it going to be produce? What is it going to look like? Because Clint, you are obviously much closer to somebody's draft than any of us. But hell, Clint, I dreamed of being drafted in the NFL up until I started in high school, continuing to stop growing up and started growing out. And I knew it was over for me then to get to anybody's NFL. But I had dreams of being in the green room, hugging my mom, hugging my dad, hugging my family, giving me the hat, walking up, shaking Carmen Policy's hand or whoever the commissioner is, shaking his hand, having that all, like going out, buying the suit, putting together the suit and the shoes and how clean guys be looking. And that's not going to be the case anymore. And I just wonder how that's going to look, because I think many guys have dreamed of that moment and can see that moment when it happens. And I know most guys don't get to experience that, but that's just going to be weird not to see.
Yeah, it's going to be strange not to see the actual walking across the stage, shaking Goodell's hand, holding the jersey up, putting the hat on, taking the picture. But man, when I look at it, I think it's going to be live. I think you're still going to have cats suited and booted. I think at their houses, or wherever their families are, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping to the 10 or less with this COVID-19 stuff going on. Yeah. I think it's going to be wild as hell. You're right. I mean, the traditionalists that like to see the commissioner of the league shake the guy's hand, take the picture with the jersey kind of deal, you're not going to get that. But man, I think we're going to get some really cool creative options through the draft. And I'm not talking about just the first round. I'm talking about all the way through. And now where you just had your first round draft picks there and they got all the attention and then everything started speeding up after that, it's going to be an opportunity where they're going to be able to highlight multiple guys throughout the draft. Because, look, I mean, the fact of the matter is they're going to have sun up to sun down to do it. There's no competition. So it's not like they got to squeeze it into a window. You know, they got to squeeze it into a two-hour window or something. They're going to be able to really do some cool things with some sixth and seventh rounders too. I'm anxious to see if the universities get involved, and how the universities get involved with each player. I think there's going to be a ton of options.
Yeah. See, I think the big thing about it is, and I don't know if you've experienced this, Clint, but during this situation, I didn't realize how much appointment TV that I watched or appointment things that I had in my life that roped around sports. And, like, when we get done working here, we get done at 6, all right, I didn't realize how much I looked forward to watching something or attending something that had to do with sports. And I just haven't been any of that. I don't know how much more Netflix I could watch. I don't know how much more of these shows. Like, nothing is appointment. If this were to happen, it would feel like at least a small sense of normalcy to get done. We would get done with this show on Thursday and be locked and loaded and ready for appointment television that we cannot miss. And I didn't know how much I missed that or how much of that I participated in.
Well, you know, you didn't know how much of it was sports too, right? Because I mean, everything else is still everything else is still on TV, right? It's just the sports aspect of it where you go, well, damn, I was trying to rush home so I could catch a Rockets game tonight. Now there's no Rockets game. What am I going to do? Yeah, no, I totally understand, man.
Yeah, yeah. So April 23rd through the 25th, the draft as we know it right now will happen, and Roger Goodell, as Clint said, has put his hog on the table. And
hey,
said,
man.
I dare you say something about it. I dare any of you.
Hey, would you do to your wife's pump, man?
Oh man, I feel like I'm a bad person, man. You just gonna put that out? All right, no, I ain't afraid to talk about it, Houston. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know,
everybody's trying to get to know you, Show. Go on, put it out there, you nasty sumbuck.
Well, we just had a baby. And anybody out there know what the baby got to have? Got the breast pump, got to pump that milk out when you're not there for feeding. And my wife went to go pump, and she goes, "Damn, one of my breast pumps broke, one of the sides broke." And she laid in them kids, man, because they do, man. They get in, they just jump on stuff, and they just jump in chairs and stuff. She really got in on them kids, and I was thinking back to it. And I'm 90% sure that I did it, Clint. I sit down hard in chairs.
No,
obviously,
no way.
You
plop down, boy.
Hey, you see my side, and I'm pretty sure I plopped down on that bad boy real hard. And man, she was letting them have it, and I felt bad because I was jumping in and joining in with her as she was going off on them kids. In the back of my mind, thinking, yeah, I think I did that, but they had to take that one for the team, Clint.
Didn't come clean?
Never have. Just hope she's not listening to me right now. But, yeah, never have. No, I didn't. And you know what? I felt bad for a little bit, but no, I didn't. They deserved it. I'm sure they've done something that I didn't know about that they got away with.
Did she have an extra one? I mean, everything going to be – the kid's going to eat? The little man going
to
eat?
She's just using one side now. She got to use –
You taped it up? Take one at a time?
Yeah, one at a time. But she did. I felt bad for about a couple of minutes. But I'm like, yeah, I told you I stopped being so rough, just jumping on stuff. Thinking to myself, I know I set my heavy ass down so hard. Just probably, I know I did that. I'm pretty sure I did it.
Well, I mean, was it on the couch or something?
It was in the chair. She has like a chair in the room that she sits in and she pumps. And I sat down in that bad boy to put on some shoes. And I think I took that bad boy out.
So what you're telling me is you didn't look over at Mama and say, "Ma, I did it." And if you wouldn't quit leaving that damn breast pump in the chair, it wouldn't get broke. You didn't, what you did.
You didn't see her face when she found it. You didn't see her face, and you didn't see the emotion she had in her face. And when she already thought she had a culprit for it, I felt like I just had to go with it.
You just got to let her roll, huh?
You're
sorry as all get out, boy. Hey, look here. You come down here and Armin starts getting on me or something, you know it wasn't me, man. Don't make me just sit there and take it now. Don't make me just sit there and take it.
It depends on the look on Armin's face.
Come on, man.
It depends on the look on his face.
Come on. Well, I'm going to look over and see the look on your face and be like, oh, big boy done sat on it, Armin. That wasn't me, baby.
Oh, man, them kids are 6'3". They good. They recovered.
They'll get over, won't
they? The part that it was shameful was me going off on them, too. That was the part. That was the part that was bad. But I was just co-signing like hell on that. I don't feel bad about it no more. For about 15 minutes, I did. One way you can continue to listen to us, Clint, even if you're not, I know many of you don't have a chance to be in your cars right now, and you guys are at home and working out from home and all that stuff. The best way to listen to us, go ahead, download the radio.com app. That's the way you could do it. Then put in the search bar Sports Radio 610, and you could listen to us in your pocket while you're working out. Any way you could listen to us, that's the best way possible for you to be able to take a listen to us. All right, coming up, more from the newest Texan. Randall Cobb spoke with the media today, and he said a few things. And one thing that I think is a missing thing that we don't think about that could be huge for Deshaun Watson and the Texans. We'll get into that next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley filling in, B-Mac producing this. Clint, man, I don't know what this world has come to. Somebody, a friend, a family friend, has just texted me, if you missed on the other end. Yeah, my wife's breast pump broke. She blamed my kids for doing it. But I actually am pretty sure that I did it, and I didn't come clean. I went along with it and just blamed my kids. I just had a family friend just text me and say, Ron, if you don't go tell her, I will. What is
it? Boy.
Trying to blackmail me? What
is it? That's where they see where their loyalty lies.
See, where's Brandon Backey's number? I want to call him. I want to have him call him, because basically this person's playing Mike Fiers, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the wrong, but you can't do that. Don't try to blackmail me.
Yeah, you're dead ass wrong. Yeah, for the record, just for the record, if anybody's, whoever's listening out there, I mean, I'm just in no way, shape, or form my co-signing. In no way, shape, or form my co-signing shows letting his kids take the beating. No way, shape, or form.
That's just, man, you can't blackmail me. You tell her or I will.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, you. Hey, look. Just chalk it up. Say, okay. Just chalk it up. Now you know where their loyalty lies.
I'm gonna test them. I knew where their loyalty lied before then. I just thought maybe I'd done something over these last 10 years to get myself. it's a guy too. I thought he'd understand.
Yeah. Yeah. He does. He does understand.
All right, man. Randall Cobb spoke with the media today. Some really, really great things. There was something that I never thought about it, and I really want to get your thoughts of it, because when I heard this, I think I had to test myself, or maybe I'm getting a little too amped about this, and I want to see what you think about it from the football perspective, somebody who's played in the league and understand this. But he talked about his experience playing with Aaron Rodgers and when the play breaks down, and how he can be helped with that experience playing with Deshaun Watson. See, Clint, when I saw that, I'm thinking like, all right, they haven't had that many great slot receivers, so you didn't see a lot of that action with slot receivers. But I remember Randall Cobb making a ton of plays, off of scramble drills. The one that comes to mind was opening day, like 2 years ago against the Bears, and he made that long touchdown run off of a broken play and got to the end zone to get him closer against the Bears a couple years ago to start the season. From a slot position, is there something different we can see with a guy like Randall Cobb being able to be really successful in big plays potentially with Deshaun Watson coming specifically out of the slot in these scramble drills?
I don't know about specifically out of the slot. I mean, it doesn't matter where you come from when you're in a scramble drill type situation. But when you're a guy that has a knack for uncovering and getting lost in coverage, then you just got that knack. And there's no doubt about it, Randall Cobb has that. He has the ability to uncover. Again, I mean, I hate to keep going back to this, but you're talking about a former quarterback. You're talking about a guy that a lot of receivers – they would run the opposite direction to where, hell, I couldn't throw the ball to them if I wanted to. If they were if they were wide open, I couldn't throw the ball back across the field that far and all that kind of stuff. And they're all bitching and moaning because they ain't getting the football. I'm like, hell, I couldn't get it to you if I had a 30-06, man. Get back in the huddle. But when you look at Cobb, he knows that he's got to flow with you. He knows that he's got to come back at an angle when he's coming downhill, and he's got to continue at that angle coming downhill when the ball's in the air. I mean, he's just a crafty receiver that's got some quarterback tendencies, he understands things at a different level, and his ability to uncover is definitely going to be one of them that'll help with considering Deshaun Watson's his style of play is drawing out plays and getting outside the pocket.
That's interesting, the quarterback thing that you say, because I remember Antonio Randall was really good at that. Yep. Travis Kelce, who was a quarterback in high school and a year at Cincinnati, is really good at that, even from the tight end position. Because you're thinking the same way. Like, I guess if you play quarterback, you're thinking yourself, well, I know where's the easiest throw he could make. That's, you learn something new every day. Damn.
Well, show it's easy, man. It's one of those things where you go, okay,
I didn't even register with me. With that thinking that a quarterback, and I feel stupid saying it out loud, but a quarterback would know exactly what a quarterback wants. Also, he discussed this about DeAndre Hopkins and discussed that what it's going to be like and what potential pressures and expectations there will be for him with DeAndre Hopkins leaving. I think the thing you love about that is that, and he is exactly what this team is needed, and he is a veteran. He is and he sounds like a veteran. Like he's not being completely delusional into thinking that I am the replacement for DeAndre Hopkins. He understands that some people will look at it that way, but he knows that's not him because they play different positions. And I love his confidence and mindset of there's a challenge, we can still be successful. Not trying to say that I'm going to be better than DeAndre Hopkins, but I take on the challenge, and that is the adult, more adult in the room that you want to hear from a guy like Randall Cobb. I loved everything that he said about that. There was something though. I'd say this may be the most interesting thing that he said that caught my ears, and maybe in the whole press conference. He spoke about his time at Dallas, and he has been an injury prone player, much like Will Fuller. He's been a guy where he gets hurt a lot. And you can't depend on him because he's injured, especially the last couple of years. He said when he was in Dallas that they kind of helped him understand his injuries with his hamstring and how to potentially prevent that injury occurring, which I think could be fascinating for him and maybe the knowledge he could pass on to Will Fuller. I think that's interesting. I think that is really, really interesting. Because he's coming to him, Kenny Stills, he's a guy who gets them hamstrings also. But with Will Fuller, I mean, when I think about Will Fuller, I think about big plays and bad hamstrings. Those are the two things I think about, big plays and bad hamstrings.
And he's got some nice dreadlocks too.
Yeah, but I still think big plays and bad hamstrings. I don't know, man. Sometimes it's, I ain't going to get on that man's dreads. It ain't like Lil Wayne bad. In terms of, hey, man, will you please get the front taken care of? But I think it could be better. Anyway, I think of bad hamstrings and big plays. And if there is some knowledge that Randall Cobb can pass on and stretch it, because Will Fuller should be all ears. The Houston Texans staff should be all ears on how we can prevent these hamstring issues with Will Fuller. That is an interesting thing to say. How he said he felt – he had felt this good in 5 or 6 years, Clint.
It's one of those things where you talk about a game change. It's worth paying him a couple extra million a year if he can come in and solve Fuller's hamstring issues.
I hear you. The contract may have been worth it.
Yeah, I may be backpedaling a little bit on my contract dispute.
Yeah, man. I mean, shoot, if he can fix Will Fuller's hamstrings, if he can fix those injuries, man, shoot, that we need to calm down on that 18 guarantee. That's money well spent.
Yeah, give him a couple more guaranteed. I'm in on that. You can get you can get Fuller's strength. Tell me, Paige, man, we'll be able to come up with some serious bread.
Yeah, that's true. That's Randall Cobb, the newest Texan. And we'll have more from his press conference throughout the show. But he said all the right things. If you're a Texans fan, you hear from Randall Cobb, you should be really excited. Clint, can I get to a story that touched my soul? This is
always wide open.
This touched my soul, man. I wonder your thoughts on this. When you heard yesterday,
friends, when I hear you say this story touched my soul, like friend asked is gonna go.
I'm gonna try to hold it in. All right. Yesterday, Bruce Arians came out and said he was asked CBS Sports with Brandon Tierney and Tiki Barber. He was asked, "Hey, man, any chance that the Buccaneers would bring in Antonio Brown?" And my man said, "Not a chance. No chance, baby. I know him, and the fit ain't here." I'm just curious. I'm curious. Oh, you need to hear it. Oh, don't listen to me. Hear it from Bruce Arians himself. This is what he said when they asked him about bringing in Antonio Brown.
I don't know what's going to happen here in Tampa Bay, man, but I damn sure know this.
I'm telling you, when I heard it, listen, you know we've had this discussion, Clint, and I told you I do not believe. I laugh and scoff at the people who think the Buccaneers are any kind of Super Bowl contenders. Now, I still don't think they're Super Bowl contenders, but I told you I don't think there is a real chance that they can overtake the Saints and win their division. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I think they're playoff contenders. This move right here, this thing that Bruce Arians said, has taken me up a notch in the level of where I feel they are contenders. I don't think they're gonna get to the Super Bowl, but I look at them differently than I do now, and it is just because of this. I don't look at that, Clint, as a message about Antonio Brown. I look at it, Clint, as a message that this is my damn team. All right? I know Tom Brady is great, and we love having him here. But he's not about to run this organization, and he is not about to make all these decisions on this organization. Damn it, we got two great wide receivers that should be even better with you here. You're not coming in here and saying, "Well, I want Antonio Brown. Let me make it happen." Because there are some athletes and some players where I think if he went to the Chargers, they'd have let him have whatever they want. He'd do whatever he wants. But Bruce Arians, let it be known right off the bat, Clint, this is my team, not yours. We're not beholden to doing whatever Tom Brady wants. This is my team. And that type of decision-making changes things a little bit of how I view the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I love it. I'm with you, man. I didn't initially think in terms of you know, he's not going to bend over forward essentially for make, but I just love the raw response of just no, nah, man. The radio guy there kind of pushed him on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he pushed him on it.
He's like, no, man, he gonna come in and just pay for $500,000. You mean to tell me you ain't gonna put him on our team? You ain't gonna put him on your team. He said, no, not a fit.
And ain't doing it.
Yeah, and we talked about it earlier. Like, I said, man, yeah, I'd love to see the Texans just do something, even if it's stupid, to show that they're moving in a direction of winning. Well, this is the last thing the Buccaneers need to do. The last thing they need to do is to bring in somebody like that. I can't imagine what he would be like and having the ear of Mike Evans every single day. I just don't see how that could end good. I don't care. And it is apparent Tom is a fan. I don't know why. Tom, it is his guilty pleasure is Antonio Brown. That's Tom. But Bruce cut that right there. And to me, that means that Tom agrees. That's what I'm saying. Like, that means Tom signed here knowing, all right, man, this is just because I left Belichick don't mean that I'm just going to run stuff. Like, I'm gonna get rid of people or bring people on that I want. No, this is your team, and we're making these decisions as a franchise. And that changed my whole feeling. Hell, I thought they would be 9-7. Quinn, I think they may be 10-6, 11-5. That's where I am, just with the decision-making of that.
I'm not ready to say that they're going to take over the Saints, but I really like them. What do you think it is that Tom, like, why would Tom Brady even waste his time on and off the field? Why would he even entertain a guy like AB?
I don't understand it, Clint. I mean, the only thing I got it from a small standpoint of what we've discussed with New England, that they just didn't have no talent. You know, he's dealing with the Henry, the rookie kid.
Yeah, there I can understand it.
You know, but here he's got talented players, and he's still, like, to the point, Clint, I don't know about you, that when he was allowing him to live in his house, I don't know what that was about. Now that took it to another level. I don't know if he saved his life or something before. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if he feels like he's trying to help him. I don't know what that is. He let that man stay in his house with his wife and his kids.
Now he may have been staying over in the maid quarters or something. Like, he may have been where the yard guys were or something. Man, Tom Brady's living a little different than me and you. He wasn't.
He's close enough, though.
Look, show, you come spend a night at my crib. There's gonna be one. I don't think that AB and Tom Brady, there was one wall.
No, I don't think so. But he's too close to Giselle, I tell you that much. And I'm AB, be honest, which it seems like the type of character who would take a shot.
Yeah. Y'all, ain't no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
He seems like a guy.
All she can say, all she can say is no.
That's him. Just all about.
Theirs. Convenient, hey, AB, I might as well.
What you walk around here naked for, man? Oh, my fault. I thought y'all was gone. I thought y'all was gone. Yeah.
Hang up, man.
Too close. John McClain, the Hall of Famer. There is congratulations in order to John McClain. He will join us coming up for the next hour. John McClain coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.